Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, welcome back to Late Night News Talk, A30 WCCO. I appreciate you listening to The Good Neighbor. We're living in a quarantine life still. As much as people want to get back to the good old days, right? Normalcy. We're not there yet. It's going to take a little bit more time. And even beyond that, it's not been normal with everything that's been going on with the protests all across the country and, quite frankly, across the globe ever since the killing of George Floyd. With that being said, you feel like you're on a roller coaster, right? Some days are better than others. The wide range of emotions, and specifically when you talk about young people not having an opportunity to truly feel like they were able to graduate, whether it's college, high school, whatever, the homeschooling, there's so many different things that we've had to deal with here over the course of the last 3 months that we all feel a certain way. Well, our next guest on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline is somebody that works with young people and adults as well and families in regards to kind of dealing with all of those emotions. Her name is Kate Rickard, licensed psychologist and co-director of Resiliency and Health Institute. Check out their website, resiliencyandhealth.org, and she joins us here on the show right now. First off, Kate, I appreciate you being on the show tonight. How you been?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks for letting me join you tonight, Lake.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to have you on, and I guess I want to start with you. You've got a you've got a couple of kids, you've got a husband, you've got a family. What is this entire COVID-19/protest situation for the last 3 months been like for you and your family?
It has been definitely an interesting time. I think anybody, regardless of if you've got family with you, single, older parents, whatever that might look like, whatever your circumstance, it is definitely different than, I would say, what I've ever experienced before this. We have definitely had some blessings in it, and there have been a few bumps along the way as well.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And so, you know, you have been so good throughout the years with the different organizations that you've been with, of working with specifically with everybody, right? You work with families, you work with all ages, but specifically working with young people, right? I've known you in that capacity in the work that I've done in the Minneapolis public school system. And you've done a phenomenal job. You're great at having good relationships with young people and with their parents and with the adults. But with all of that being said, you know, this is a unique experience, what we've been through over the course of the last 3 months. So let's talk about some of the things that you've experienced in terms of some of the issues that you've had to deal with in dealing with said families and the young people that you've had to try to help along the way over the course of the last 3 months. What are some of the top of the mind issues that you've had to deal with at the heart of speaking with some of these young people that have really had a lot of emotions here over the last 3 months, from not being able to graduate to those that weren't able to finish off the school year that had to be homeschooled? Just talk about some of the issues that you've encountered.
Yeah, you know, I think particularly when COVID, you know, really started here in Minnesota in March, there was a lot of uncertainty. You know, will I be able to see my friends? Will I be able to like figure out my login and my password on how to get into this online learning that now my school is doing? Particularly, I think that one was kind of stressful for parents, But just this uncertainty of what are we supposed to do and what is this looking like? There's a lot of shifts in what our typical routines were, what felt normal for individuals. And so that when we have that uncertainty, it can often lead to a little bit increased anxiety. Maybe we're on edge, self-doubt. Those are kind of big things that happen. And also a lot of, you know, as we kind of moved into, you know, a longer time here in COVID, looking at the moral fatigue, right? Like these mundane activities of going to the grocery store, having to get gas, going to the gym, all of a sudden became moral dilemmas. How often do I go? How long will I stay? Who will I be there with? You know, so those are some of the experiences. And then now, you know, we're kind of creeping into 4 months and we're looking at like just being depleted from the day to day, same day in, same day out. And that can become really exhausting for folks.
And Kate, you know what, you just kind of like vaguely touched on something that I wanted to get into too, because like there's so many different things that, let's just say from the perspective of, I'll give an example of a school, right? There's something that we know about the actual school day that happens with young people once they leave home and they get to school. We know one thing, that they are going to be provided a meal, right? So I think when the school year shut down, you encounter kids that had issues like that where they're kind of like struggling and thinking, well, where's my next meal going to come from? So it's not as easy as for a lot of people out there talking or thinking about, okay, I got to homeschool my kids and you know what, we're going to be hunkered down and we'll stay in the house. But there are a lot of households across the state where people were kind of wondering where they're going to get their next meal from.
Well, get their next meal. And also, I have to go to work. Who is going to be able to take care of my children while I'm not able to be present with them? You know, there's a lot of stress that happened in families and is continuing today, right? There's still the stress that's happening.
Yep. No, I'm with you. We're talking to Kate Rickard, licensed psychologist and co-director of Resiliency and Health Institute here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. And another angle that I heard discussed and talked about at the beginning of COVID, I haven't seen necessarily any numbers on it, but it is frightening. It is scary. It's just the perspective of when you have to be hunkered down, you have to be in a quarantine. Not everybody's, I guess, living situation is perfect. And what I mean by that is, we know that there's something that occurs called domestic violence. And we know that there are people that are in abusive relationships. And to me, that's a struggle as well that a lot of people didn't necessarily talk about over the course of the first couple of weeks of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. I would agree. And the amount of social isolation that occurred. And, you know, as humans, we are meant to connect to other people. And so, you know, there is reprieve in being able to see others outside of our home if our home is chaotic and stressful. And so if we no longer have that opportunity, that only adds and compounds to the difficulties. And there's a lot of stress that happens in trying to figure out how do you day in and day out 24/7 with the people in your home, particularly if those relationships are rocky or, you know, just not in a great place in the moment.
What would you say is the, I guess the biggest concern in the families and the young people that you work with, that you see, that you have as clients? What's been maybe their number one thing, over the course of the last 2 or 3 months that has been the most concerning for them that they communicated to you?
Right. Well, you know, I think that there's these common sources of tension that we all have been experiencing. So like that isolation piece, loss of meaningful activities that we're involved in, whether that was, you know, your after school programming, if that is your men's league basketball, those things that were, you know, gave us a little bit of purpose, spirituality, you know, all those things. And then now because that stress and anxiety is compounded over time, I think some of the biggest pieces is around the potential for emergence of mental health concerns in a bigger way than just the day to day. So maybe an onset of depression, sleep issues, apathy. You know, there's definitely a little bit of an effort attitude coming out right now, and just the brain fog, and then being your own worst critic on why am I so tired? I haven't done anything today. But pandemic fatigue is a burnout.
Yeah, and you know what? You just stole my thunder because that was going to be my next question, because when you talk about where this could lead us, right, you talked about people being exhausted, people being isolated, people having and exhibiting that self-doubt, and people being burnt out on, you know, I'm stuck in this. You know, you feel like you're stuck in a treadmill, right? Because you're doing the same damn thing every single day. But you just touched on the final piece there in terms of the screw it attitude, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm concerned about that, too, because – you know, I had a family member that years ago committed suicide, and they were kind of down and out on themselves and depressed and all that. And I think that we've all maybe encountered a friend or a family member or somebody in our community that's been there, right? And maybe we've had to deal with that before. But I do have a deep fear that we may potentially, I hope that I'm wrong, but potentially we could see more of that, because I feel like there are a lot of people that feel stuck and they're hopeless on what tomorrow's going to look like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, between the exhaustion of that and the apathy that may be emerging for individuals, we want to be able to have people understand that there are opportunities both for themselves or to reach out to other people. There's resources, and to be thoughtful about those who are in your social circles that you care about that seem to be experiencing this ongoing fatigue in a way that brings a little bit of concern. You know, I don't know if we're always really great in our society about reaching out and extending to people questions of like, how are you doing? You know, because we kind of like to, you know, I'll give them space, they'll bring it up if they need to, but this isn't the time to be doing that.
And the other part to me, Kay, that I'm concerned about, and this is not easily fixable, okay, is the job losses. So mm-hmm. when you talk about the economy and you talk about all the people that are out of work, just strictly based off of COVID, right? We've seen restaurants shutter. We've seen a lot of people lose their jobs in the hotel industry, the airline industry, across the board. To me, that adds another layer of I'm down and out, I'm depressed in my situation, and I got to figure out how I'm going to pay my bills off. I got to be concerned about my rent because I'm not able to bring in any income.
Yeah, it goes completely to our sense of safety. And throughout COVID, there's both a personal and a collective sense of safety that we're grieving because it is no longer the way that it used to be. And particularly when we feel financial constraints, that's a big piece of how sometimes people stay in situations that aren't healthy or reasons that we try to get out of situations and whatever that might look like, including suicide. And so we want to be cautious and careful about that.
Yep, we're talking to Kate Rickard, licensed psychologist, co-director of Resiliency and Health Institute. Check out the website, resiliencyandhealth.org. And Kate, so let's try to take a couple of steps forward. We know that we're in tough times. We know that we all have to rally around each other and kind of come together. But in your line of work, kind of give us some strategies and some things that we can maybe work with and work through as we look to a better tomorrow.
Right. I think the big thing is thinking about our well-being, and there's different components of that. There's our physical, our emotional, relational, and spiritual well-being. A lot of individuals, both, you know, whether you're the 10-year-old I'm working with or an adult, we were talking about what are the four pillars, like what are you standing on right now? And so I've been thinking about it in the way of like, how am I moving my body? How am I restoring my body? How am I connecting it? And how am I nourishing it, right? So it's about your sleep, your exercise or your movement, your, you know, eating. And the big piece is connection, because quarantine and the pandemic and the social distancing has really impacted how connected we are to other individuals. We have to be super mindful about that.
You know, one of the things, and this may be it might be a dumb question, but you're the expert, so I'm going to ask it anyway. Is it easier to work with young people than adults right now? Or is there not really that much of a difference between the two in terms of one being easier to work with?
You know, I would say, I don't know if there's one that's easier or not, but there's a difference, a little bit of a difference in what we are processing or how we're processing what is occurring with us. You know, ideally, not that kids don't know what's going on in the home, because they do, But if we're able to frame those conversations with them in a way that has them feel reassured that they're being taken care of, that's okay. You know, adults have a little bit of a different pressure in some respects of this, but you know, I think with kids, the beauty of kids is that they have so much opportunity to learn. That's what their job is right now. You know, kids are learners by nature because of school and just curiosity and their brain development and growth. And so we have a real opportunity to help our young people figure out ways that they can support their own resilience, that they can, you know, look to their collective community and figure out, like, how do I want to do these things in a different way? You know, if you look at some of the multicultural movement that has occurred after the killing of George Floyd, that feels different than maybe the other times that this has happened, because this isn't a new experience in our society. But I think the young people have a lot to do with that, and that maybe we had enough awareness and time and space to actually think about, like, how do I want to show up in this? And so I think there's a lot of opportunity we have in supporting our young people right now.
All right, final thing for you, and then we'll let you go, and I appreciate the time tonight. Do you feel like we, in terms of the people out there that maybe need assistance, that they need help, do you feel like we are knowledgeable enough about where to go for the resources? Because I know a lot of times when we talk about getting aid to people that are in need, a lot of times people don't know where to go, who to turn to in terms of trying to get the assistance that they need.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that, you know, Minnesota as a whole, and then, you know, the different organizations within them are really trying different ways to be able to support our community right now. It's knowing the resource, but then being okay, like, advocating for yourself. I think that's almost a bigger piece of it, you know, and with what's happened, there is a lot of opportunity for, like, telecommunication, right? The virtual world of, you know, checking in with your doctor, seeking out a therapist, connecting to your, whichever kind of, you know, organization or culture or spiritual community that you're in, those opportunities are still there. Some of it's just knowing it's okay to reach out to it. And then if that person isn't able to answer, like, yep, we can support you, the follow-up question of who can? Because all resources know other resources. There shouldn't be just a closed door.
Check out the website, resiliencyandhealth.org. It's Kate Rickard, licensed psychologist and co-director of Resiliency and Health Institute, joining us here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Kate, I appreciate you, lending us your expertise and your knowledge tonight, and I appreciate the time.
Thank you, Mr. Lake.
All right, take care. That's Kate Rickard, joining us here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.